Here's three dangerous thoughts every writer has around tax time. First, what can you count off? I can count off my bed. I write on my bed, so it's a business expense, especially that expensive pillow I just bought. Two, for taxes, I can count off all my paper and pens as business expenses, right? My fancy note cards and journals, the posters I use to decorate my room, padded bulletin boards and stencils. Oh, and photo apps, as well as an app that can organize my daily schedule. Three, my phone. Contact my designer and editors and schedule conferences on my phone. Gee, I can buy one of those fancy ones that takes really good photos. I'll get a lot of tax money back, won't I? Well, no. And yes, what truly are the kinds of things counted as writing expenses that can provide deductions on your taxes? Maybe this episode has a few answers. Welcome to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee, with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. M.A. Lee is currently offering her novella, The Lion's Den, as a freebie when you sign up for her newsletter. Write to winkbooks@aol.com and ask to join to get the link and the free novella and then the current newsletter. As for today, we're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017, revised 2018. Today's episode is an amalgamation of three different places in the guidebook, along with information I've learned since revising Think Like a Pro in 2018. Like the plot method chapter that included Kiso Tenketsu, I'm adding in. Therefore, the transcript for this episode in its entirety will be on our website, thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Also, celebrate with us. We have reached the 25th episode after a celebratory email from my podcast host for passing the 15th episode. I have a feeling many podcasts start up, but few persist, so I'm rolling my eyes. Joanna Penn of The Creative Pen, which is a wonderful podcast, has hit her 500th episode, so my 25th episode seems like a small ladder rung. However, we have to start climbing somewhere. So yay for the Write Focus in our 25th episode. It seems strange to celebrate as we hit this episode on tax tips for writers, yet we have to do tax tips now, and it is number 25. So on with this episode, a few tax tips for writers, business expenses, and the like. For official tax help, see an accountant who can help you the first year that you make money, the first money that comes in, and consult a financial advisor who understands intellectual property. If you haven't considered your writing as intellectual property, you have a huge mental viewpoint to change. Becoming a professional writer is becoming a small business owner. Your product that you sell is your writing, fiction, nonfiction, prose, or poetry. No matter which genre, no matter the length, no matter self-controlled or work for hire, no matter traditional or self-published, you are creating product with every word. Some products will be McMansions. Some will be rustic cabins in the forest. Some are a shed in the backyard. No matter where, every finished product is property generated by your brain, and that makes it intellectual property. You'll see IP everywhere. You own your product. When you sell it, you actually sell a license to others to use and retain the property, unless you sign away the copyright in a contract. Always read contracts or pay an IP advisor to read it for you. That's just good business sense, and that's not what this episode is about. Let me head off on another tangent. When you first make money as a writer, or even when you launch the process to do so, you'll need a tax identification number from the IRS or the appropriate revenue institution for your government. A financial advisor can help you decide whether to have an S-Corp or another tax designation and whether to have an LLC. These are early decisions to make when you start up your intellectual property business, before you deliver your first product to the marketplace, to consumers, to readers. Tax numbers and designators are also not the focus of this episode. We're concerned with the expenses that you will gather up as you prepare to file taxes. To set up your small business properly, when you are close, so close to sending content to the marketplace readers, don't think about promotions first. Think about being a business owner and set up an appointment with a money professional, a CPA, or a financial advisor. Do this long before tax time. Do this early in your writing career, and you will be setting up your IP business with the best practices for a startup. Don't wait until January to April, the busiest times for a certified public accountant and a financial advisor. Schedule for summer or fall, then follow the advice you receive. Now that I have these two important professional life concepts out of the way, intellectual property and small business startup, I'll start with the tax tips. Remember those three foolish questions that opened this episode? 1, counting your bed because you sometimes prop up with your laptop to do late night writing. 2, counting all your purchases of papers and pens and apps and more. 3, counting off your phone so you can buy the newest gadget every year, especially one with great cameras or allows you to stream or game. Let's take your writing space first. The space you count on your taxes for writing has to be only for writing, not sleeping also. Not your dining room table, since you can clear it off 4 or 5 times for family gatherings or projects. You can't count the craft table in the corner. Yes, you may write there, but on 1 or 2 days each month, you also pay bills there. To count your writing space, you have to devote a space for writing only. This is one reason that pro writers may have an office that they go to, or a room solely for writing, or a backyard shed. You may have a desk and an unused walk-in closet space, or a corner with a window, as long as its only purpose, not primarily, but only purpose, is for your small business. Measure it out. That devoted space can be used on your taxes to offset your mortgage or your rent. This is also the reason you should track your writing sessions, especially in the early years when you don't turn a profit. Yes, most writers, 99.9%, are not successful with their first publications. A zealous tax auditor might need to reference the writing sessions you spent in your writing space to count it as an official deduction. Set up your writing space not just for writing, but for tracking the business of writing. When you need to take a writing break, you can work with numbers in your writing space. Turn to something totally analytical when your creativity is feeling zapped. Take an hour or two to set up a business ledger. Track the month-by-month income-outgo as a report. You can call it credits, debits, or earnings expenses if you wish. Project expenditures into the future. What earnings are needed to fund those projected expenses? After totting up columns of numbers, the brain will beg to return to creative writing. Create a running tally month to month. Running all of these numbers will make the creative side of your brain wish it were working with words, and when tax time rolls around, you will pat yourself on the back. Office supplies include things for writing, gripping, organization. Writing includes pens, pencils, printer paper, writing paper, planner, journal, printer ink, and toner. Grouping supplies include paper clips, sticky notes and flags, highlighters, staples, and your stapler, and a hole punch for me, which belongs actually in the organization section. Binders, 3-hole punch, 5 folders, 5-folder organization system, such as a filing cabinet, or smaller 5-folder holders. And don't forget, flash drives and other physical items that you find necessary for writing and developing stories. Office equipment includes desktop and laptop, keyboard, mouse, mouse pad, task lamp. Inkjets are laser jet printers. Make sure they have a scanner. Specialized software programs, whether you're using Microsoft Word or Scrivener or Vellum or something of that sort. If you do your own covers or plan to do your own covers or have taken a class so you can do your own covers, then maybe Adobe Photoshop or software of that sort is important. Internet access. Yep, that counts. For audiobooks, any special software programs, headphones, microphones, a cost of a reader, etc. Any subscription programs such as internet hosting or an email aggregator like MailChimp or a mileage tracker or computer planner, and any equipment rentals. Operating expenses are those that are beyond office supplies and office equipment. Expenses that cover what you have to be a writer, to promote your writing, and to publish your writing. Do you have a separate bank account for your writing? The cost of that account should be deductible. If you use your smartphone to write, to record mileage, to contact and consult your designers and editors, or for any use, then a percentage of its cost can be deducted, but only a percentage. An accountant can tell you how much can be deducted and how to record its use in order to receive the deduction. Business licenses and permits. To publish on electronic distributors like Amazon, Smashwords, Draft to Digital, you need a tax ID number. That's a business license. ISBNs have to be purchased. The copyright fee has to be paid. Publishing expenses include your cover designer, your agent if you're traditionally published, and the printing cost of the book if you're publishing it yourself or with a vanity publisher. Do you have an email list aggregator like MailChimp or Drip, GetResponse, AWeber, Constant Contact, ConvertKit? That's a cost. If you are selling from your website, any fees that you pay to services like PayPal or Square should be counted. These count as merchant processing fees. Also, if you are selling personally, you will need to collect sales tax and turn over any monies owed taxes to the proper authorities. Professional expenses include costs you pay as a professional in the field of writing. Dues for any writing organization are included here. Whatever your genre, you need to belong to a national organization which has a primary purpose of the defense of writers. Some organizations are genre-specific, such as Romance Writers of America and Science Fiction Writers of America and the Mystery Writers of America, yet their advice and support will help you no matter what genre you write in, and even if your writing is not genre-specific. Many of these organizations have different levels of membership. Sisters in Crime has the Guppy chapter, which is geared to the newbie writer. Some organizations are exclusive, like Novelist Inc., which requires you to report your income and have to meet an income level. Prowl around and pay attention to events in the writing world, not just in your genre. Do you have developmental editors and content line editors? These go with any other consultation costs that you might have. Have you purchased advertisements and swag, which is marketing materials? Any cost that you have related to promotion, be certain to record it. Seminars, conferences, continuing education classes, writing books, all of these show that you are attempting to improve your professional skill level. Classes and books show that you are improving your professional skill level. Keep the receipts. Conferences and seminars are opportunities for networking with other professional writers. Reader-specific conferences help you connect with your audience. Everything you do, marketing and writing, is directed toward your readers. Interaction with them shows that you are building a market for your writing. Professional gifts given, including meals and entertainment, as well as tickets and other gifts, can also be deducted. You are creating goodwill with the people that you contract with. As for mileage, you can use an app to record your miles, or you can keep a little notebook. Either way, check your trip log against your planner to ensure that everything is added in. Note down the reason for the trip, research, inspiration, consultation, marketing, supply run, etc. Any auto expenses related to your work performance should also be counted. I guess this means that if you had a flat tire while driving to a conference, a percentage of that cost for it to be changed and repaired can be deducted. An accountant can give you more information. Miscellaneous expenses include the cost of tax preparation, a percentage of your utilities, water, gas, electric, based on the size of your writing space, any other expenses specific to the writing industries, and some repair cost and maintenance cost can be deducted. If they are related to writing, record them. Record as well the reason that these costs are related to your writing so you don't forget maybe months later. Whatever you do, you have to be business savvy. Track your money wherever it goes, and then sit down at the end of the year and do a cost analysis. You should see a return on the money that you put into the business. If you're not earning, making it a little more year to year, what do you need to change? Marketing? Blogging? More freelance work? Were you profligate with your writing expenses? Where did you waste money? I cannot resist charming little journals. I don't count them off on my taxes, but I keep buying them. Yes, I am a paper nut, for I have over a dozen now with no immediate opportunity for their use. I am a pen nut, too. Our profligate expenses may be in paying others to do things that we could have figured out on our own. However, sometimes it behooves us to pay others to do those things if we spend that time saved in writing. If that time saved was not put to writing, well, what a waste. Basically, anything related to the creation of intellectual property is an expense. When you go on a trip that's not specifically related to writing, journal every day about your impressions of the place, descriptions, experiences, and your writing itself. A portion of that trip now becomes inspiration for writing. It's research for your writing, and it's deductible. That's straight from my CPA. Count your devoted research trips, as well as books and webinars that you purchase to improve your craft and professionalism about writing. Definitely count the cost of a writing conference, the hotel room and its fees, its taxes, the cost of food. Not in this past Corona coaster year when conferences canceled right and left and sideways, but definitely in the future. Account for all your sales money in the year it comes in. Deferring only works when you're six figures or more with a foreseen financial hardship in an approaching year. Otherwise, when you get it, pay taxes on it. Ask a CPA if you disagree with this advice. Other writing expenses may not be immediately writing related. For example, for last year's taxes, since I started this podcast in August, I will count microphone, headphones, fixing and editing cost, music license, and mixing software. All of those are expenses for this podcast, which is directly intended to support one small portion of my writing. If you're interviewed for a podcast and you supply your own microphone and headphones, or you create audio files to support your books, or you create a YouTube video which you narrate, guess what? It's writing related. In addition, I'll have the cost of the subscription to the podcast host. If you access through Apple Podcast or Spotify or YouTube, that's from the RSS feed off Podbean, which my host is. And start now buying your own ISBNs so you can put your book in wide distribution. Don't wait like I did. I had lots of expense in 1 year that I could have spread out over 5 years. Also, pay the fee to register your copyright. Don't use poor man's copyright. What is poor man's copyright? It's mailing the manuscript to yourself and using the date stamp of the postal service as the copyright date. You never open that package. There's a major problem, however, with poor man's copyright. It won't hold up in a court of law, and the whole purpose of registering copyright is to ensure that you can take someone to court, maybe small claims court, because that's a new change to the laws, if they take intellectual property that you have copyrighted. One area that I have fallen down on as a writer is promotions. I'm trying to change that this year. I have started a newsletter, prompted by my first subscriber. I hope to have more subscribers soon. A newsletter requires an email aggregator, and I'm still figuring out the one to which I subscribed. I set up 3 emails with myself as a subscriber and didn't receive the first one. When it's working, when I finally figure it out, I'll tell you the service. I've also joined BookFunnel. My free novella comes through BookFunnel. As you go year to year with subscriptions to services and to professional organizations, you need to consider if your goals are being met. Divorce your emotions and go with logic. You can have emotions with your personal money, but we're in a small business now. Logic wins the day. I'm certain I've missed some expenses. Hopefully these lists and my rattling over them will have dinged off expenses you should count at tax time. Remember, first, protect your intellectual property, and second, run your writing like a professional small business. Writing is not a hobby. We're going professional. Next week, we finish the guidebook with Chapter 7, One Resolution. After Think Like a Pro, we'll be bookcasting Write a Book in a Month, published under my Remy Black moniker. Yes, if you hadn't figured it out, M.A. Lee and Remy Black and Edie Runes are all one person. I talked about pseudonyms in the 7th episode, part 2 of What's in a Name, way back last fall. I still haven't decided if the upcoming Write a Book in a Month will be one Wednesday, as always, only Wednesday and a weekend episode are daily, which is how the original blogs occurred back in April of 2019. Until next Wednesday, write on.